Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm just glad we're still friends, guys. I mean, after hearing just those rants and just the anger spewing from you, I'm just glad I'm hanging on by a thread.
I'm glad you're hanging on too. You know, it's a tough business here with me and Rex Road. You got to watch out, watch your back with us.
You're welcome to rant too.
You make Stillman look like a kitten.
That's right. That's right. No question about it.
Toonses.
Yeah, very much Toonses.
The cat, the drive. Yeah.
Oh, yes. So, Corey, we've talked a lot about the Predators so far on the show today. Obviously, ugly in the second period last night. They give up a franchise record seven goals.
To cover all the goals yet. So
I don't think so. I mean, it's been a lot that they scored in the second period. Overall, as you look at where they sit, they're 4 points clear of Vegas right now. They're in the second wild card spot. How do you feel about them right now as they head into what is about to be a brutal stretch coming up, starting with Calgary tomorrow night?
Well, what do they got? I mean, they're sitting on 91 points, right? Or 89?
91, yep.
91, and they got six games to go?
Yep.
So that's a possible 103. You know, I think 99 gets them in for sure. I mean, because Vegas is still 4 points back.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think they're going to make it. I just really worry about them being out of gas. Because it happens. And I asked Roman Josi about it last night, and he's like, you know, tired doesn't exist this time of the year. Everybody has the same schedule. Everybody's tired. And so, but it's a reality, okay, that, you know, you get to a point. I mean, look, I've run marathons, and yeah, everybody's tired, but guess what? I'm my own tired. I don't care how tired anybody else is. I care how tired I am. And when you watch Tarasenko go down the wall and go right by Alexander Carrier, and you see guys skate through the zone and nobody gets over there to pick them up. You know, I wonder, you know, I don't think they forgot how to play hockey. I just think you can get tired from time to time. And I could be dead wrong. I think they're at a bit of a wall right now, and there is a way over the wall. And it's just a matter of how long it's going to take them to get there.
What do you think, Corey, of – and we've gotten a lot of reaction. You're like, how could the Preds do this, you know, on Terry Crisp's day he was honored? I actually think it's almost – you know, I mean, Crispy, if anybody can have fun with something, you know, it's Crispy. But I thought a great ceremony yesterday, and it was really cool to have Pete and Terry together on two broadcasts in a row. What did you think of that? And, what do you think of Crispy? And you can be honest. If you want to rant against Crispy, go ahead.
Oh, Crispy's one of my all-time favorite people. You know, they have that question about, like, if you could have dinner with five people, any five people in history. Terry Crisp is one of my five people.
I think me too. Good call.
I've been on the road with Terry Crisp, you know, with the Predators in the playoffs. And getting together with him after the game, you know, with the group in the hotel bar or whatever – I mean, he just holds court, and it is priceless. It is priceless. And look, I mean, you talk about, you know, the right person for a new market. He has been all of that, but he's a great family guy, a wonderful hockey person. He's a wonderful communicator. He like you talk about a game like that. You know, when I've called games. So I don't do it anymore, but my mentor always told me, be better than the game. So when the game stinks, you can't stick. And Terry Crisp could be good when the game stinks, you know, kind of like John Madden. And so I think, you know, all of those things are tremendous. I do not think one thing had to do with the another. I don't think the players mailed it in on Terry Crisp. I don't think they wanted to stink on Terry Crisp night. I don't think that had anything to do with anything. I think it just was a luck of the draw. But, yeah, I will miss him. Because I've got stories about him, and whenever I walk in a room and I saw Terry Crisp was there, I knew the day was about to get better. I think that's the best way to put it.
Yep, no question about that. Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, Adam Schefter putting it out this morning that Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, and Terry McLaurin not expected to participate in their team's on-field off-season programs because they want new contracts. Obviously, yeah. I don't think it's a big surprise that they want new contracts. We have had some Titans fans freaking out about that on our text line this morning. My question to you is, should they be? Is this a big deal at all with A.J. Brown if he doesn't participate in the on-field off-season program?
Well, number one, is it optional? Are the workouts optional?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're optional. So that's number one. I mean, yes, you like to have your guys there, but they're optional. So it's not that big of a statement, okay? When you don't show up for training camp and it starts costing money, that's when it's more of a statement. You don't show up for training camp and you're getting ready for week one, that's more of a statement. To me, this is smart because you don't want to get hurt. I mean, you get hurt and that affects your leverage. And look, everything with A.J. Brown has been incredibly positive outside of the Jets media trying to stir up that he's on the trading block. I mean, the Titans have made it clear. We want him back. We want him back for a long time. It's kind of like Forsberg. They just got to work the numbers and make the numbers work for everybody. But I think everybody there is going to work out. I think this is the business side of it, that you can't go there and you can't get hurt. It's not like Deebo Samuel, you know, who removes the 49ers from his Instagram and he's got fans, you know, saying mean, hateful, racist things to him. You know, that's an uglier situation because you're creating a situation where a guy may not even want to play there anymore. And he's an incredible player. You know, Keith Bullock always says it's a business. You know, he understood it was a business. He saw it firsthand. And I think fans, you know, I know you're fans, but you also have to realize it's a business. And there's a method that plays out in all of this. So I am not concerned whatsoever about the A.J. Brown situation.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I don't think it's all that surprising. Now, to your point, of course, you got OTAs and stuff. Now, mandatory minicamp, which is at the end of all this, then there would be there'd be fines applied. But even that, so what? Robbie, you should know that I just Googled this, actually. But Aaron Rodgers got fined like $93,000, I guess. Aaron Rodgers got fined for misdemeanor.
Right? Yeah, I don't think they actually made him pay it, but yeah.
Right, and then they're going to pay it for him anyway because he's Aaron Rodgers, because he's perfect, because he wins a bunch of Super Bowls.
Yep.
So, no, I'm with you, Corey. I think that some people are probably going to freak out about this to some extent, but I think this is just kind of par for the course to be expected, and we'll see. And I agree that it just seems from around here, forgetting the external stuff like the Jets rumors and all that stuff, it's been very amicable. And I think they're going to figure it out. So we're, let's see. Oh, mock draft season is almost over. How are you feeling about the draft?
I feel better with more picks. That's how I feel. I feel better with that second rounder back from last year. You know, because I think again, in that range, there's a lot of players who can help them. And so, I mean, to me, still ideally, you trade back. And you get two top 50, 60 picks for your one at 26. That would be ideal because, like I said, they need help at some spots, and I think they can find it, you know, even a few picks further back. And guys always slide. You know, there's so many good receivers. I think there's a lot of good offensive linemen, you know, that can help them, whether it be Zion Johnson or Penning. You know, there's guys that can come in, and I think there's receivers who can come in and help them. And I think that's kind of the way they got to go. You know, I talked to Matt Miller the other day from ESPN, and I asked him how many of these quarterbacks he would give a first round grade to, and he said none, basically. None of these guys would have gone ahead of the five guys who went last year, and. You know, Floyd Reese always told me that if there's a franchise quarterback on the board, you got to take him. Now, he passed on Aaron Rodgers, so he missed that one. But the point is that if one of these guys is a franchise quarterback, you got to take him. But I think that
the people who are going to take a quarterback are probably talking themselves into it, that this guy's a franchise quarterback. Because you know the goods when you see it, and I'm not saying that these guys can't be it, but I don't know that Andrew Luck is out there right now, and or Justin Herbert is out there right now. Could be. I mean, Tom Brady didn't go till the sixth round. But I guess that's my long way of saying I don't see a quarterback in round one. I'm not saying it's impossible. I don't. And wide receiver and offensive line, I think there's a lot of guys who can help them. And they need a plug-and-play guy this year. I mean, imagine last year's team in the playoffs, regardless of Tannehill's performance in that game. Imagine if you had two more first-round picks on the field helping you.
Yeah.
I mean, those are supposed to be pillar guys, cornerstone guys. And, you know, if they had two more first-round level picks on the field, how much better of a team could they have been? Again, I'm not banging J-Rob. I'm not saying he's terrible and he's a fire. But, I mean, when you whiff on two first-rounders in a row, that has an impact. And that's where they were in that postseason game.
Yep, no question about that. Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Show. Corey, great stuff as always. Glad we're still friends, and we'll talk to you next week.
But John Hines is still talking to us. After last
night. That's right. That's right.
If you ever want a rant, Corey, you can join the rant. A core rant. How about that? A core rant.
A core rant.
There we go.
Or a current.
Yeah.
Or that too.
It's even better. I like that.
Current events. See, we can do this.
Thank you, Corey. Have I ever been angry about anything in my life?
I don't think so.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you guys need to come to the office sometime.
Appreciate you, Corey.
Later, guys.
Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, on the Preds, anywhere you want to take it on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get into the A.J. Brown situation. Is it a big deal that he could be sitting out in the off-season programs? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. You can text the keyword golf now to 615-737-1025. That's golf to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink, plus a Predators gift pack, including a polo shirt, golf balls, and umbrella. Text golf now to enter at 615-737-1025 for your chance to enter and to win. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, we brought this up with Corey Curtis in the last segment. This is coming from Adam Schefter this morning. Quote, I tweeted the wrong one out, but A.J. Brown and Deebo Samuel are a part of this as well, but also Terry McLaurin. Talking about with those three guys looking for new contracts, they could sit out the off-season workout programs for their team. So both those guys, especially in A.J. Brown and Deebo Samuel's place, not first-round picks. They received four-year deals with their contracts, now looking for a new deal in the wide receiver market that has been shifting. There have been some Titans fans that are a little concerned that A.J. Brown could sit out the team's on-the-field off-season program because of the new contract situation. Joe Rexroad, should they be concerned? What do you make of the idea of A.J. Brown not being out there for the on-the-field off-season program workouts?
No, I wouldn't be concerned. I mean, frankly, if I were A.J. Brown's agent, well, first of all, I'd have a lot more money than I have right now. But also, this is the way I'd go about it. Now, look, once you get to, you know, we'll see. Once you get to mandatory minicamp, you know, could that be different? Yeah, could be. And that's one of the, you know, that it's not just because there's a fine involved. Again, these fines are dropping the bucket fines, but that particular aspect of the whole spring program is something teams value in terms of getting their key guys all together, getting those reps and things like that. So getting in some of the new guys. I mean, there's some value to it that teams find. So, you know, I think by then, maybe it's a little bit different if you get to that and it's still the situation. And obviously, I don't know where things are in terms of a new deal, negotiations, things like that. And that's going to you know, is going to be key here, obviously. And does this serve as some kind of an igniter? Maybe it's not even necessary. It's just the fact they haven't gotten it figured out. I mean, I think we've talked for quite a while now. Although there's always that risk of, oh, you give AJ a deal and then he falls apart next year. I mean, that's football. I mean, you know, there's always the risk. I think it's a bigger risk to have him unhappy slash not get it done and have him have this ridiculous year and the price goes up on you. You know, I mean, I still think it's a bigger gamble to not get it done as early as possible than it is to like hold off and say, I want to see if he can get through a season healthy. I mean, he hasn't have 1,100 yards, all these things. You could say that stuff and it would make sense. But if you know A.J. Brown, for all of us who've watched him snap after snap, I'd be paying the guy.
Well, I'd be paying the guy too. And as far as the offseason workouts are concerned, like, I don't think it's really a big deal at all. And there's that school of thought out there of, well, as much time as you could get on the field together between quarterback and receiver, it's going to help you in the long run. And I guess that's true, but like at this point, Ryan Tannehill and AJ Brown have been on the field together enough where I'm not worried about a chemistry thing between right. those two guys. The answer, if you're Tannehill, is pretty simple. Just throw the ball to AJ Brown. The chemistry will be there. That's pretty simple at that point.
Or Nick Westbrook-Akina, but you know, six of one, half dozen the other. You know.
That's right. Indy Ben texting in says, it's always a concern when a key player misses time in the offseason. Going up against Gilmore in the division should also be a concern for AJ. Stephon knows how to slow him. This coming from Indy Ben on the text line. Does it sound like maybe Indy Ben willing something into existence there with a key play? It's always a concern when a key player misses time in the offseason.
Now I'm trying to think here. I'm trying to remember a particular game where like Stephon Gilmore had a great day against AJ Brown. Have they seen each other? Have they seen each other more than once? I mean, AJ Brown didn't play last year in that game. They played in the playoffs, and I mean, you know, that was hand the ball. You know, that was like student body left, student body right, and touchdown Anthony Firkser. So I guess you could say in that game he did a good job. I don't remember AJ Brown's stats, but they weren't much. I mean, there weren't much passing. So I guess you could look at that game and say that. But I don't know, Indy Ben. I think maybe you're taking a little bit of a leap there. But I do like the signing. Absolutely like the signing for the Colts.
I mean, he's 31, 2 years, $23 million for Stephon Gilmore. But look, I tell you what, they needed to improve their secondary. And I think certainly Stephon Gilmore helps that secondary a lot. That's I'm concerned about that if I'm a Titans fan. I don't know if that necessarily puts them over the top in the division. I guess we'll wait and see. But you do have Matt Ryan, you've got Stephon Gilmore, and you still have a draft as well for the Colts to attack. So it is, I think, much more interesting now in the AFC South than it was heading into the offseason with Carson Wentz as the quarterback.
Yeah, look, at this point, as soon as the Gilmore signing happened, I was like, okay, so now we can just – let's just bury it now. Everyone's going to pick the Colts to win the division.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked at Vegas odds.
It's an annual tradition.
Yeah. And look, they may be – I mean, I think it's too – close teams. I mean, it's probably going to come down to which the only real hole here, which I expect the Colts to try to address, and we'll see if it works, because you don't know with the draft, but the big hole for them is they don't have AJ Brown. They don't have that guy. I don't think they're going to get that guy for this year in the draft, but like they can certainly, and they must improve their receiving core. If they do that, it's a really good team. It's probably going to come down to who plays better this year, Matt Ryan or the worst quarterback in the history of the NFL, per some Titans fans, Ryan Tannehill.
On FanDuel Sportsbook, the Colts are now the favorites in the division at plus 110 to win the AFC South. The Titans at plus 125. So the Colts, slight favorite in the AFC South, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook.
And again, now that's Vegas. So I know people get mad at media. They're like, oh, everybody loves Chris Ballard and all this stuff. And that's Vegas odds. They're not, you know, they're taking bias out of this. So I expected the media to absolutely be full force picking the Colts to win the division. Maybe that's good for the Titans. Someone can ask some Titans about having a, quote, chip on your shoulder. One of my all-time pet peeves in the history of conversation among humans.
Vrabel, can you talk about having a chip on your shoulder, please?
Yes. That's the perfect press conference question. Can you talk about that chip on your shoulder? Hey, can you talk about literally having a chip on your shoulder? What, like a buffalo chip? What kind of chip do I have on my shoulder?
Hey, look, this has happened the last 2 years, though. Carson Wentz comes in. All of a sudden, the Colts are the favorite in the division. I think it was a little less pronounced last year. Like when Phillip Rivers came in, everybody was picking the Colts to win the division. Yep. It was a little bit more Titans friendly last year. I'm interested to see how – I mean, look, the Titans, I think there's still going to be a lot of folks around the country that pick them to win the division. But I would say more, when you do your little athletic poll, I bet the Colts win that one. Athletic loves the Colts. My goodness.
What do you mean, little athletic poll? what are you trying to say, man? Well, but the Titans were pretty – weren't they pretty clearly picked even in the athletic Colts-loving media – right?
This last year, yeah.
Yeah, because of Julio Jones. I mean, yep. Seriously, like that, the Julio Jones addition, I mean, look, I was on board, so I'll raise my hand, and most of NFL media were on board too, just like, oh, pick your poison, this team is going to be deadly. I thought so. So without that now, Robert Woods is a much less sexy addition. I think could be end up being a much better addition. We'll see, but I think it could be. It could be a better Titans team and still – not picked to win it. But here's the thing. I mean, the Colts, although, again, Carson Wentz gets credit for some W's last year, he also gets credits for some L's. And you feel like Matt Ryan's not going to lose you a lot of games. I don't know how much he has left, but you feel like he's not going to make the death pick, really, like the last two guys have for them. Maybe I'm
wrong. I agree, although Matt Ryan's not been very good the last couple of years, but I agree. Now,
for a crappy team, what's hard. Yeah,
exactly. It's
Indy Ben would say, yeah, it's a crappy team. He's going to be Pro Bowler this year.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It's time for Talladega Trivia. If you answer correctly, you'll qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Arca Menard NASCAR Xfinity Series doubleheader coming up on Saturday, April 23rd, and a pair of tickets to the Geico 500 on Sunday, April 24th, and one pair to the Talladega Garage Experience passes as well. Today's trivia question is this, which you can answer on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, that's our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The question is this. In 1987, what driver set an all-time NASCAR speed record with a 212.809 mile per hour qualifying speed at Talladega? What driver set an all-time NASCAR speed record with a 212.809 mile per hour qualifying speed at Talladega? If you know the answer, hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Congratulations to Huffy, who was the first person to correctly guess Bill Elliott as the answer. We had a lot of correct answers on the text line, but Huffy was first with Bill Elliott setting the NASCAR speed record at Talladega. So Huffy has qualified for the tickets. Appreciate everybody's participation on that front. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Zach from Hendersonville texting in says, what happens if Julio signs with the Colts? Will Colts fans and the media have the same reaction as most Titans fans and media did last year? This is coming from Zach from Hendersonville on the text line.
Say that again.
He just zoned out, Robbie.
Joe's zoning out on me, zoning out on John Hines. Doesn't
matter.
Whoa,
we're doing a show? Yeah. Well, what was the beginning of that text again? I'm trying to find it, and I'm...
What happens if Julio signs with the Colts? Will the Colts fans and the media have the same reaction as Titans fans and media did?
I mean, no. I mean, if you're actually seriously asking that, no. I mean, at this point, Julio Jones' career fell off the table last year. It happens to most NFL players. You know, like if Aaron Donald actually had followed through and retired this year, then there'd be the very, very, very rare example of a player who's at the absolute top of his game. Retire. I guess Tom Brady too. He's still great. Yeah. He's still great. You know, he will be till he's 73, but Julio Jones, most players endure what Julio Jones just endured in the last year, which is at some point you just fall off the table. And I'm not convinced. I'm not 100% convinced that Julio Jones is done being an impactful player in the NFL. A lot of it has to do with, are you going to get through the hamstring stuff altogether and be able to play? If so, like, I wouldn't be shocked if there was another good Julio Jones season in the NFL somewhere. But
what does good mean?
Well, I mean, if he got past that and he was able to play an entire season, I think he could be a good, I think he could still be a pretty good number two receiver in the NFL. And depending on where he is and what they do, I think he could flirt with a 1,000-yard season still. I know some people are probably howling at that, but I, again, it's got to be the right situation, and it's got to be the health thing that's a big, big question and is the biggest reason no one has signed him right now. And it's understandable. 1 year of this lingering injury, but you play well when you're healthy and you never had any durability issues other than that in your whole career, that explains why the Titans did what they did. Stack another year on it in this league, damaged goods. See ya. But he could end up being an interesting bargain for somebody potentially.
If you're the Colts, are you doing that? I mean, obviously a lot of it depends on the price, and I don't know what that price is going to end up with for Julio Jones, but I mean, there's an obvious connection there with Matt Ryan that is now in play. If you're the Colts, are you entertaining bringing in Julio Jones? Or, I mean, you got a front row view of it last year in a couple of games. Did you see enough last year? If you're the Colts and you're thinking to yourself, man, we got bigger fish to fry. We got to go find some other wide receivers other than Julio Jones at this point in his career.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember too. I don't think he played in the one in Indy, did he? I don't think Julio Jones played in that one.
And he was the one here was the game where the hamstring started to creep back in there, and he was out basically the whole second half.
To me, if they do sign, I think that you can't ask for a better, analyst of whether they should or not than Matt Ryan, right? Yep. Other than, like you said, if you just are convinced, like, yeah, that doesn't look good. You got hamstring stuff that for 2 years, you're not running the same, all that stuff. But if Matt Ryan is like, guys, bring him in. I mean, at the very least, you know, he's a competitor. We have incredible chemistry. I mean, I believe that it can work. Then you got the money to do it. So if they don't sign him, that tells you that maybe Matt Ryan isn't desperate for them to bring in Julio Jones.
Matt from Camden on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How much do you think AJ is wanting for his extension? I think 4 years at $82 million, $50 million guaranteed. What do y'all think about that? This is coming from Matt from Camden on the text line. So he throws it out there, 4 years, $82 million, $50 million guaranteed.
Yeah, it might be a little higher than that. I mean, I feel like, again, the guaranteed money is what really matters, of course, and that's probably in the right neighborhood. But just strictly, if you want to go by AAV, you know, which means a lot less in the NFL than it does in the NHL, but probably, you know, maybe more in the 23, so maybe like 4 for 90, 4 for 92, something like that, 50, 60 guaranteed. I mean, I think that's in the realm. And it's a big investment, but I'd pay it. The cap's going up, and it's just hard to find players this good and also competitors this fierce. And the durability is a big question, but there is no question that he plays hurt, and that's a big thing too.
I'm interested to see who gets signed first between him and Deebo Samuel, because I mean, Deebo is just such a different type guy. I mean, he was awesome at wide receiver this year, but he also, as we know, he played some running back too and carried the ball out of the backfield. I mean, he had 77 catches for 1,400 yards and 6 touchdowns this year. The yardage part of it is something that AJ Brown has not even approached at this point in his career. Now, if you ask me who the better just straight up wide receiver was, it's close. I'd probably go AJ Brown, but it's close. I'm interested to see between those two guys, which one gets the contract first and what it looks like for Deebo Samuel, considering how kind of unique he is in this league.
It's the uniqueness, but also it's Deebo Samuel now has had a monster season. I mean, he's had what A.J. Brown has not had. A.J. Brown has had that in terms of his play, his performances, big games, things like that. But like a full year of what Deebo Samuel did last year, I mean, that is just big time. So, it is interesting because I think you're right. I think I would agree with you on just comparing receiving chops. You know, I think I would still go with A.J. Brown, but you can't argue with what Deebo did on the field. By the way, on the contract situation, so Stephon Diggs, and you're talking, you know, 4 for 96.
Yeah.
So 24 a year, and he had 70 guaranteed. But again, now fully guaranteed, and this is over the cap, 48 mil. Okay, so fully guaranteed is still also something to keep in mind. So, you know, I mean, I think AJ should be in that neighborhood, you know, with Stephon Diggs. I think that's right around his territory, maybe a little less.
Well, if you're going numbers-wise, it's less than Stephon Diggs, but there's also the age part of this too, which makes this more interesting.
Right. Diggs is 29, so by the end of his deal, you know, it could be, and of course, by then, it's you know, it's the guaranteed money that matters, so that when he's 32, 33, you know, they may be moving on. But that's with A.J. Brown, you got a good chance that all 4 years, if you do a four-year deal, are going to be the best of his career. And that's not the same as Stephon Diggs.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. Got a lot more to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Darren McFarland coming up at 9 o'clock as well. All that ahead. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor coming up on May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. Sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on a rough one last night for the Nashville Predators. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, I don't think it's hit home yet for Colts fans that they have a sitting duck at quarterback and the Titans pass rush will make him want to retire. That's coming from a texter on the text line saying, Matt Ryan, sitting duck at quarterback and the Titans pass rush going to get all over Matt Ryan this year.
Ooh, let's get some Colts-Titans trash talk going. I feel like Titans fans just haven't been talking a lot of trash this offseason, other than at the expense of number 17, their own quarterback.
Yes.
But it is true with the Colts that you now go back to a guy who you know where he's going to be, you know, before he throws the ball. Not saying that I would not rather have Matt Ryan than Carson Wentz. I would. But Wentz did give you that element, at least, which at times could be very dangerous. And it could be very dangerous for the Colts as well, as we saw. But Matt Ryan, certainly not a guy who's moving around too much. So if you can get the pass rush going, you can get to him. Now, when we talk about the Colts, I think the Colts' pass rush may be much improved this year. And I think that's one of their biggest issues last year, is they really didn't get it going. If those young pass rushers, including, of course, Odiyingbo from Vanderbilt, you know, Kwity-Paye. I mean, they had some interesting guys on that defense. Now you had Gilmore. Yep. I don't know, man. Colts Titans could be a 9-6 type game next fall, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, how exciting.
Don't forget, you got Yannick Ngakoue in there now too, who's coming over from the Raiders as well. So you factor in Pay and Ngakoue in there now as well. And
Still got Buckner.
I mean, that front could be pretty darn good for the Colts next year as well. Let's go back to the text line. Will from Nashville texting in says, who will have a better year overall in 22, Jonathan Taylor or Derrick Henry? It would have been a silly question 2 years ago, of course. This is coming from Will from Nashville.
Very good question. And, of course, you're talking about, you know, there's a pretty big difference, especially at the running back position. Jonathan Taylor entering, like, the prime. And Derrick Henry, by traditional timelines, especially at that position, is on the other side of things. Does that mean Derrick Henry is really on the other side of things? I don't know. I mean, realistically,
so looks probably good out.
He's still, yeah. I mean, his muscles have muscles, you know, his elbow has muscles. So, his pinky finger could probably do more curls than me with two arms. Okay. But it's a great question, and it's going to be a big part of the, I would bet on that one. Like if that's a Vegas odd situation, I bet you the over under on Jonathan Taylor's rushing yards this year would be a little bit higher than Derrick Henry's. I could be wrong on that, but that would be my guess right now.
That would be my guess as well. Although I will say, if Derrick Henry's healthy, until I see him slow down, I believe that he's still Derrick Henry. That's just the way that I'm kind of approaching it.
Well, I agree. I mean, and that's how the Titans have to approach it. Now, I think that they should really think about drafting someone. But if you draft a running back in the fourth, fifth, or whatever, like, are you drafting his replacement?
Probably not.
I mean, it's possible. But drafting another, a good compliment, and just thinking about the eternal conversation of lightening his workload, I think is probably a good idea. But yeah, you're proceeding with everything you're doing. If he's not great, if he takes a big step back this year, if he falls off the table to any extent, well, I don't think you're going to be all that good.
By the way, Derrick Henry is the leader in the clubhouse on the FanDuel Sportsbook for the AP NFL Comeback Player of the Year odds at +350. And second is Jameis Winston at +700. So FanDuel's got a lot of faith in Derrick Henry being the Comeback Player of the Year.
I hadn't thought about it in those terms, but I mean, if he has like a, you know, if he plays the whole year and he has like 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 yards, something like that, probably a lock for that, right?
Yeah, probably so. Raymond on the text line, going back to the pass rush conversation, says, we sacked a guy 9 times and still lost. This is coming from Raymond on the text line. So Raymond, mm-hmm, not putting too much time into the sack part of this.
9 times. That's
9
true.
Times.
But again, so think about that. Think about if you didn't have that pass rush in that game. You know, I mean, that's why the game was close. That's why you were in position to still win it at the end until your quarterback threw a third pick.
Yeah.
Pass rushing matters. It's good to have. You know, it's going to be a big part of this team's whatever success the Titans have next year. I think we're going to be talking about the pass rush a lot.
By the way, Marcus Mariota +1,200 for Comeback Player of the Year.
That's, boy, I'm seriously, like, I think I'm as excited to watch the Falcons play and to see if he can actually do this as, I mean, just about anything on an individual storyline basis in the NFL next year. And I'm not saying I have like high confidence that he's going to be great or even good, but I didn't think he was actually going to get this opportunity. So I'm like, I'm so intrigued by how that's going to go with Arthur Smith.
Go back to the text line. Ron texting in says, if they don't pay AJ Brown before it's contract time and he has a career year, he's going to want $30 million a year. This is coming from Ron on the text line.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. It's you can always go the other way with this and say, great, give him all this money right now. And then he plays 7 games next year. And you're realizing that he's just a guy who is going to keep getting hurt, and now you're in trouble. And that's possible. But given all the information that's available right now, I think it's pretty clear that the way to proceed right now is to get it done, to get him locked up. I think that – because I agree with you, Ron, that if next year is the year that he doesn't have the injury issues and he does have the huge year, then he could be in a different stratosphere, or at least on a different end of the same stratosphere.
Will texting back in, going back to the Taylor Henry discussion, says, plus Taylor gives you more in the passing game, right? Yes. Taylor had, I think, what was it last year? 40 catches, 360 yards, 2 touchdowns in the passing game. I wonder, with Matt Ryan at quarterback and him obviously wanting to get rid of the ball quicker than Carson Wentz did, which we've talked about, Carson Wentz likes to hold on the football and force the ball down the field, like, just Jonathan Taylor become even more involved in the passing game this year, it would make sense to me that he would.
Yeah. And yeah, and I would agree that he's better, you know, than Derrick Henry. That Derrick Henry's worked really hard on it.
Yep.
And could make the case to give him more opportunities.
I was waiting for the Derrick Henry wheel route at some point. It needs to happen.
Well, you got to try, right? Like, just so we can see him running, go right on the sidelines, you know, just to see him running full speed on the sidelines and like just leaving a linebacker in the dust. But he's worked hard on, you know, the screen game with Derrick Henry is one of those things that it was so effective before he was like the focal point of every defensive coordinator's week. And now that's a little different, but I'd keep trying to get him the ball however possible.
Matthew from Jolton texting in says, if Derrick Henry has 1,200 yards, we won't make the playoffs. This is coming from Matthew from Jolton on the text line.
Yeah, see, I'll disagree with that. I think that you could have a situation with Derrick Henry, you know, being more in the low threes, okay? Now, that still would be, let's say, low threes and carries and 1,250 yards. You're still only right around four a carry, but I think you could have a situation with that. You have another someone who gives you a little bit more help in the backfield. You have offensive balance. Your passing game is effective, and your defense is great. That's a playoff team still. I as much as, like, the Titans are still very much tied to Derrick Henry, they're not completely dependent on him. If they were, then they wouldn't have gotten the number one seed last year, correct? I mean,
that's correct to me.
It's a team game. I mean, I know it's a cliche, but if the Titans' defense is as good as they hope, like, you're going to have a little bit of margin for error with that offense, and you're still going to win a lot of football games.
Is there not a chance, or are we completely ruling this out, that Tannehill comes back next year and doesn't throw 15 interceptions in the regular season or whatever the number was? Is there a chance this happens, to your mind, Joe Rexford? Or is he doomed from the start?
Yeah, I'd probably throw about 25, 30 picks next year. Be the worst quarterback in the league. No, I mean,
full Jameis.
Look, I mean, so much of it, I mean, I'm not ruling anything out with Ryan Tannehill. He's played more really good quarterback as a member of the Titans than he has played bad quarterback. Now, whatever he does next year, it's absolutely fair for everybody to say, if they get to the playoffs and all that stuff, he plays great. That's all very possible. It's very fair for everybody to say, great, now show me. That's fair. But this expectation that now he's going to just curl up in a ball and suck, it's a little bit of emotional analysis, right? And by now, in April, I guess, I would hope maybe we'd move past that.
So real quickly, before we get to Darren coming up, did you catch any of the USFL over the weekend? I know your Michigan Panthers came up just short.
Yeah, what the heck? I saw Shea Patterson out there. Like, what are you doing, man? Turn over the ball. You play for Jeff Fisher, Shea Patterson. You don't turn the ball over in the red zone.
By the way, the final score of that game, the Houston Gamblers 17, Michigan Panthers 12. If that's not Jeff Fisher football, I don't know what is, man.
So, by the way, is that 12 by virtue of four field goals?
I hope so. I need to go look.
Dude, my called shot was five field goals. Oh, God. I hope it was four field goals. And people were ripping me. I'm like, come on. How do you not pick that? I'll be very honest with you. I mean, so we were with, you know, like my in-laws. We had a Michigan weekend, and we went to Michigan State for my son to have orientation. And we had the Detroit Tigers. We had NBA playoffs. We had hockey. And that stuff is just always going to take priority over a spring football league. I love football, but no, I really didn't watch it. I'm sorry. Did you?
I did not. They did actually score a touchdown in that game. So congratulations to Jeff Fisher. It's all right. Come look, on, it's a long season, man. Drop the first one. You got time to rebound here.
So two field goals, a touchdown, and a miss two?
I guess so.
Okay. Well, two field goals is a start, but we can do better than that.
Birmingham Stallions, big offensive explosion, 28 points on the board against the New Jersey Generals. It does your heart good, I can tell by just talking about it, to have this thing back in there.
Well, I love the Brands, but then I think of, like, the New Jersey Generals, and I want to see Doug Flutie and Herschel Walker. And, you know, like, it brings me back. But, you know, I look
to the
I
good
hope
old
it works,
days. It brings you back to the good old days, Joe.
Yeah. Which Jill Jelinek said, like, oh, five generations ago. I'm like, you think I'm 94? My gosh, yes. Jill.
Yes. Boomer.
Killing me here.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Darren McFarland coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds over the weekend as they face a daunting schedule coming up in the next five games. Show us your bad Easter photos, from pastel overload to horrible bunny costumes. We want to see it all, and you could win a family four-pack of tickets to a Nashville Sounds home game and the grand prize of a two-night stay at Gaylord Opryland Hotel with access to their fabulous Sound Waves Water Park as well. Submit photos now at thegamenashville.com/Easter for your chance to enter. 102.5 The Game presents Bad Easter Photos. Get more info and submit a Bad Easter picture at thegamenashville.com/Easter. Darren McFarland next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.